Today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 9, text 18 to 33. Anybody here from Bengal? No? No Bengalis? Sachin Mata Prabhu's not here? You're from? Huh? Bengal? Do you like to chant the Bengali slokas, or shall I try to do it? Huh? No, you know. No, I'm saying. You know the text from text 18 to 33. Would you like to chant them, or would you rather me struggle along, try to do it? Because you're Bengali. You have a beautiful Bengali. We can follow you. What you'll do, you'll chant one verse, then I will do the translation, and then you'll chant the next verse, and I will do the translation, okay?
Okay.
So we're starting with the text 18, Raghunatha Deki Kaila, Panati Starvana.
Sure. Raghunatha Deki Kaila Pranati.
You can da 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 da. Do you know how to?
No, I don't know the.
Okay, well then, then you chant the way you want to chant, because you're Bengali. Go on then.
Okay.
Go on then.
Raghunatha dekhi kaila pranati stavana tahana eka vipra prabhura kaila nimantrana.
Upon seeing the deity of Lord Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu, the Lord, offered his prayers and obeisances. Then a Brahmin invited the Lord to take lunch. Say Vipra. It's great to have a Bengali chant. It's such a pure language, isn't it?
Si vipra rama nama nitra taralaya rama rama vina anya vani na kahaya.
That Brahmin constantly chanted the holy name of Ramachandra. Indeed, but for chanting Lord Ramachandra's holy name, that Brahmin did not speak a word.
Se dina tanra ghare rahi vikshakari Tandri Kripakari Agi Chalila Gaura Hari.
That day, Lord Chaitanya remained there and accepted prasad at his house. After bestowing mercy upon him in this way, the Lord proceeded ahead. Text 21. Sorry? Oh, the internet's down. Oh, that's a shame. Okay, well, I'll take over then. Shall I do it?
Yeah, I got it.
You got it. Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Skanda Shetra, Turthe Kaila Skanda Darshana, Trimatha Aila Tahana Dekhi Trivikrama.
At that holy place known as Skanda Shetra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Skanda. From there, he went to Trimhatta, where he saw the Vishnu deity Tarikaram. Text 22.
Puna Siddhavata Aila Sei Vipra Ghare Sei Vipra Krishna Namalaya Nirantare.
After visiting the temple of Tarikaram, the Lord returned to Siddhavata, where he again visited the house of the Brahmin, who was now constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Text 23.
Bhikshakari Mahaprabhu Tanare Prasna Kaila Kaha Vipra Ei Tamara Kona Dasa Haila.
After finishing his bath there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmin, "My dear friend, kindly tell me what your position is now." Text 24.
Purve Tumi Nirantara Laita Rama Nama Ebekeni Nirantara Lao Krishna Nama.
Formerly you were constantly chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. why are you now constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna? 25.
Viprabale ei tumara darshana prabhave toma dekhi gela more mora ajam ajanma svabhave.
The Brahmin replied, this is all due to your influence, sir. After seeing you, I have lost my lifelong practice. Text 26.
Balyavadhi Rama Nama Grahana Amara Toma Dekhi Krishna Nama Aila Ekabara.
From my childhood, I have been chanting the holy name of Lord Ramachandra, but upon seeing you, I chanted the holy name of Lord Krishna once. Text 27.
Sehaiti Krishna Nama Jivate Vasila Krishna Nama Sphure Rama Nama Dure Gila.
Since then, the holy name of Krishna has been tightly fixed upon my tongue. Indeed, since I have been chanting the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Lord Ramachandra has gone far away. Text number 28.
Balyakala haiti mora swabhava ekahaya namaira mahima sastra kariya sanchaya.
From my childhood, I have been collecting the glories of the holy name from revealed scriptures. 29.
Ramante yogino nante satyanande chit atmani itirama padanin padina so param brahma bhityate.
The supreme absolute truth is called Ram because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. I'll just read one quick purport. This is the eighth verse of the Satyanam Stotra of Lord Ramachandra, which is found in the Padma Purana. Text number 30.
Krisar bhu vakaha sabdo nascha nirvritti vakaha tayor aikyam param brahma krishna iti abhidhyate.
The word Krishna is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krishna is added to the affix na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. This is a verse of the Mahabharata, Udyoga Parva 714. Next verse, text 31.
Param Brahma dui nama samana hai ila, haila. Panch ara sastre kichu visesa paila.
As far as the holy name of Ram and Krishna are concerned, they are on an equal level, but the former advance, the further advancement we receive some specific information from the revealed scriptures. Text number 32.
Rama Ramiti Ramiti Rame Rame Manorame Sahastra Namavis Tulyam Ram Nami Varanane.
Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga, O Varana, Varanana, I chant the holy name of Ram, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. The holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. Purport, this is the first from the Brihad Vishnu Sahasranam Shrota on the Uttarakanda of the Padma Purana. Okay, thank you very much. I will do this text number 33 now.
Sahasranam nam punyanam trir avratya tu yat phalam ikavratya tu krishnaya namaikam tat prachvati.
The pious results derived from chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu 3 times can be attained by only one utterance of the name Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So please repeat. The pious results derived from chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu 3 times can be attained by only one utterance of the holy names of Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace. This verse from the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse from the Brahmananda Purana is found in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.5.3.5.4 of Sri Rupa Goswami. Simply by chanting the name of Krishna once, one can attain the same results achieved by chanting the name of Ram three times. Om Agyanatam Vandashya Agyanandana Shalakaya Chakshusha Militam Dena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stabitam Dena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharansi Fatmantikam So thank you very much for inviting me to come along to discuss the Shastra today with the assembled Vaishnavas. Hopefully we can together form an understanding of this verse and the meanings behind it. So this particular verse from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, this gives an indication as to why, or Rupa Goswami gives an indication as to why this verse was spoken in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And I wanted to read some of the texts from that because we can see how Rupa Goswami is giving the understanding of why Krishna's name is perhaps more powerful and in what way it may be more powerful. Because anyone like to say beforehand what might be the reason for this? For this phenomenon, why is... Oh, hold on, I thought I had it here. Yeah, I do. So, please, who would like to say why Lord Krishna's name, perhaps, is identified in this way as being, you know, much more... what does he say here? Pious results attained. Okay. So why is Lord Krishna's name so... Dagapriya, you've been around for a long time. Surely you know the reason. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the three extra qualities. Yes. Well, then three, remind us of what them, what are the three extra things? It's the flute.
Pastime, which he displays with his devotees. Of, yes. And is it his mantu? What do you mean?
What is the third?
I think the other devotees know better. The pastimes he displays, no? And then the flute, and then what else? The form, Krishna's form, Krishna's beauty.
His form. Mm-hmm. So his form is beauty, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just trying to find this. Anyone else like to say why it is that Lord Krishna is so special? That gives a very good indication, and that is really the tattva of it. Srinivas Prabhu.
Yeah. It says in Praise of Sam Bhattacharya, in his 100 Praise glorifying Lord Chaitanya, he says how the names of the different avatars of Krishna only deliver their devotees, whereas Krishna's names even deliver the demons.
Ah. So that's interesting. So Krishna's name delivers the demons, but the other names only deliver his devotees.
Yeah.
Does he deliver the demons in his form as Krishna or in his form as... Which form does he deliver the demons in?
Well, the holy name is more merciful than Krishna, so simply by chanting that name.
Oh, I see, yeah. In his form of his holy name.
Very powerful.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Sweeter, yes. Yeah, Ras. Yeah, this is a fact. In fact, that is the... I can't find that particular text, but in Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavan Rita, that is the point, because he, from the preceding verses to this verse, he brings out the reasons why the goddess of fortune wanted to enter into the rasa dance. She wanted to enter into the rasa dance. So the preceding verses mention this tattva, why she could not enter into the rasa dance. And also the verses mention Krishna entering into Vrindavan with Balaram and how Balaram was enjoying the atmosphere of Vrindavan with his Krishna's friends. And actually that verse also mentions how Baladev himself was being embraced by some of the gopis. So well, that was just, Rupa Goswami says this is, because Krishna mentioned that. He says that the goddess of fortune, you cannot enter into Goloka Vrindavan, but some of the, but Balaram himself is being embraced by some of the gopis. So, but that Rupa Goswami is saying is a joke that Krishna's having, and we should not take it that Vrindavan is a place where Balaram is predominantly embracing gopis, because the tattva of Balaram or his attraction or his seva to Krishna or his attraction or his service is in mostly in sakiras and in servitorship. But he also has some vatsalya ras in him because Mother Yashoda empowers Lord Balaram with that vatsalya ras because Mother Yashoda is an anxiety about Krishna entering into the Vrindavan forest. So she says to Balaram, you're the elder brother of Balaram, so therefore you have to make sure you take care of Lord Krishna because there's many demons around and he never eats properly. And he gets carried away with all his friends and his activities. So you make sure you keep an eye on him. So in that way, Balaram is empowered with that vatsalya ras of taking care of Krishna, just like Mother Yashoda does. And of course, he's a friend of Krishna. And as well as that, he actually is always serving Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna. Srila Gaura Swami used to say, you should give all pleasure to Krishna. He always used to say like that. Give all pleasure to Krishna. Well, that's what Balaram does. Because we have Krishna. Then we have Balaram. Then we have Srimati Radharani. So what is Balaram doing? He is... expanding himself in Mahavishnu form, right? And then from Mahavishnu is expanding so many jivas, like you, me. Are we direct expansions of Krishna, per se? Well, kind of. But actually we are expansions of Mahavishnu, isn't it? Yes. Who is Mahavishnu? Balaram. What is the difference between Balaram and Krishna? It's simply... the color, we should understand. is the color, but he has all the potencies of Krishna. So I was joking to my friends that Balaram, he has created all these beings, and Krishna said, what have you done that for? And so much trouble is there now, all these jivas. Did Krishna know he was going to expand? Why did Balaram do that? Because he wants to give pleasure to Krishna. So Balaram has created all these jivas. And he wants to... Why has he done that? Why has he created us? Why has he expanded us? Because you could say there's never been a time when you didn't exist, and nor in the future will you cease to be. So, same time, where were you? You were part of Mahavishnu. And because Mahavishnu is eternal, we are also eternal. So he's become many. So he's become many, and he wants us to render service to Krishna. That's what he wanted to do. So he gave independence to us. And some of us chose for some reason. You know why you chose not to? Anyone know why they chose to come here? Because you have independence. For some reason, no one knows. But for some reason, Prabhupada gives the example, sometimes a rich man has a son, and the son, even though his father is a wonderful man with lots of qualities and lots of wealth, still the father goes off, isn't it? So Prabhupada gives that analogy. So sometimes, because of independence, I had a debate here a few years ago here. Does Krishna know what you're going to do? What you're going to choose? And some people say, yes, Krishna knows everything. And I say, yeah, he does. Especially within the material energy, he knows, because it's his energy and you're forced to act according to the modes that you've got. Therefore, I think Keshava Maharaj said at the time, well, if you give someone who is addicted to alcohol, you can predict what he's going to do. So in the same way, Krishna knows within the material energy. But does he know when you're going to choose to surrender to him and give him... Does he know when you're going to surrender to him, or how you're going to surrender him, or what sentiment and what is love? Love is a very dynamic thing that's ever increasing. Therefore, and Prabhupada says, we are not dead stone. So the way you choose to relate to Krishna, the way your choice of your mind, your sentiment, and you know, it's all individual, and this free will, or this unexpected consequences in life can cause great pleasure to people. Does it not give pleasure to you when you don't know what your friend's going to say or do? You don't know what your daughter's going to say or do, or your son, and it gives you great pleasure. So similarly, Lord Balaram has expanded himself. He's become many. And Balaram is completely independent, and we are given that little fragment of that independence, and Krishna enjoys that in Ras. So this is discussed in this previous verse here, and to this verse as to why the goddess of fortune could not enter into that Ras. You could say, what a shame. But Krishna said, okay, you can become my... You can become... What's that? Huh? That little line, isn't it? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. See, but some of the Leela is also involved in that, like in Dwarka, Krishna has his queens. And the queens also... They give great pleasure to Krishna. But they're not... When the transcendental flute sound plays in Vrindavan, they do not hear it. Because even if they heard it, and that flute sound is telling them to go to Krishna, they can say, no, no, I have my husband here. I am married to this form of Krishna. I cannot possibly leave Krishna in Mathura to go to Krishna. And so they have that sense of duty to their husband. So this is the reason why the goddess of fortune, in the sense of Devi, who resides with the Lakshmis, they cannot go into the rasa dance. So this is described. And the reason, and Rupa Goswami goes on to explain the beauty ultimately of the Hare Krishna mantra. And the beauty really resides in the ras, like Premananda had mentioned, and also you, Jagat Priya, mentioned, because the flute sound and the leela pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world, as described in all the shastras, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is describing these things, and all our Goswami's works are expanding upon them, them verses in so many different books, and you know, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj's Astakala Leela, for instance, where he is describing the eightfold pastimes of the day of Krishna and everything that goes on there. So that is some of the history, or the preceding verses bring this flavor of ras into the reason why this verse is spoken here. So let's see what now. The mantra actually is a very old mantra. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not something that is a new mantra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made up, right? It's a very old mantra, and it's mentioned in the Sanat Kumara Samhita, the Sri Brahma Yamala, the Sri Ananta Samhita, the Brahma Ananda Puranas, the Vayu Puranas. And so what Mahaprabhu has done with his mantra, Srila Gauravananda Swami, is he explains that he has woven a wreath, and he has infused that mantra with love of Krishna. Nam prem. He's taken the mantra, he's infused it with nam prem, and he's made a wreath, and he's garlanded the whole world. So sometimes words have meanings, and meanings can change. For instance, the word, you can think of the word woke, or gay, or cool. If you said these things a year or so, or quite a few years ago, they would have different meanings to what they have today. So that's just an example of somebody bringing new meanings to a name. And Krishna himself, his name means everything, but Mahaprabhu has brought special meaning to his name, or revealed special meanings to his name. And this is what is meant by the fact that the holy names have been infused with nam prem. Nam prem for who? And which prem is Mahaprabhu referring to? And what is he revealing? He's revealing the residents of Vrindavan and their prem that they had for Krishna. And we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he wanted to understand what this prem is of Radharani, because Krishna is full of bliss. His form is very blissful. And pretty, Radharani and the residents of Raj are full of pretty. So when that pretty, that love, meets that bliss, because someone who's in bliss and very happy, you have to understand what is it they, what qualities do they have that make them so blissful? If you, in the material world, if you see someone who's very blissful and happy, if you're non-envious of that person, and you want to appreciate them, you enter very deep into their heart. If you do not have pretty, if you do not have love and appreciation for them, then you will not be able to enter deep into their heart and finding out what their qualities are. So it's very important. The Krishna consciousness, this Hare Krishna mantra, not only does it reveal the bliss of Krishna and the priti, the love of Radharani, but it also has another special potency. Because we were saying before how Lord Balaram has expanded so many jivas, and some of us chose not to go along with the plan of Lord Balaram. We decided to go our own way. Therefore, when that happens, we are thrown and covered by the material energy. Because we have to study this material energy, vidya and avidya. There is, you have to, two side by side, how is it that we are thrown and how is it we are covered by the material energy? How are the material modes working in us? What is our attraction and repulsions? These things we must know. This is called Krishna consciousness. Unless you know how your attractions and repulsions work, then you cannot be Brahmabhuta Pasunatmana Suchatina Kankshasi Samasevashubhuteshu. You cannot be. You'll always be involved in the humdrum of the attraction and repulsion of the material world. So that is not Shuddha Sattva, that is not pure consciousness. So we've been thrown, and even Lord Balaram takes a position. He also has to throw us, doesn't he? He does everything, actually, Balaram. He has so much to do, because in his form as, what's his form as? Vishnu takes form as Sat Shiva, right? Sat Shiva is also a manifestation. And He enters into, because one thing is, when you are in the so-called Tattvastha region and you wanted to come to this material world to enjoy, you did not know how to enjoy sense gratification. You had no idea. No idea how to enjoy, because you knew, you didn't have any knowledge of anything. Therefore, avidya is also Krishna in his sadbhuj form, you could say. Because he's touching the material world. Not only is he touching the material world, but he's demonstrating to you how to enjoy the material energy. So Krishna has to do everything for us, even as he teaches us how to enjoy the material energy in one sense. Therefore, the Christians have the idea of the devil and the angels, right? But they don't understand that that energy, that dark energy that forces us to act against our will, as Krishna says in Arjuna says to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what is it that forces us to act? And Krishna says, oh, it's lust. It's in various places, in the senses, in the mind and the intelligence, and it forces you to act in various ways. And there's different degrees of this lust. Some of this lust is compared to an embryo, and that's one degree of lust. And the other is... what's the other ones now? Dust on a mirror, yes. This dust is significant because Mahaprabhu is removing that dust. Actually, if you're an embryo, if your lust is so bad that you're like an embryo, very difficult to come out of the material world. Very difficult. Very difficult for Vaishnavas to take you out of the material world if your lust is like that. If your lust, if Mahaprabhu is given concession, if your mirror, if your heart is like dust, oh yeah, Chaito Dalpana Majam, yeah, we can clean little dust. And smoke in fire, oh, very good chance of coming, very good Vaishnava if you're like smoke in fire, the Acharyas say. because you can really catch light quite quickly. Therefore, in the Hare Krishna movement, you will find various devotees in different degrees. And those that are super fired up, literally they're fired up because before they came here, they were just little smoking fire, that's all. There was a little bit of attraction was left. So as soon as they heard Mahaprabhu's name and the Hare Krishna movement, they get fired up. You heard the expression, fired up, right? So this is this firing of, because a little smoke was there, and then... So this is... So the Chaitanya... So this mantra is very, very old, and Mahaprabhu has utilized that mantra and he's infused it with this prem. Naam Prem. Naam Prem Sankirtan. Prem Naam Sankirtan. You have to do that type of chanting. How is it that you're going to be able to do that kind of chanting? This is described by the acharyas. You have to associate with those who are doing that type of chanting. Therefore, the essence of Krishna consciousness is to take association of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas who are of different categories. So you have to associate with those who have a taste for Naam Sankirtan, for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and engaging in Krishna's service. There's different sorts of devotees. So as your adhikar increases, you may change your association. You may find yourself associating with different sorts of devotees. Actually, the Krishna Conscious Movement and ISKCON itself and other branches of Gaudiya Vaishnavas around the world, they're all talking on the same subject matter. But according to your taste and according to your adhikar, you may be attracted to certain types of Krishna consciousness. There's a saying, all's fair in... What's that word? All's love... Love and peace. What's that? Huh? All's fair in love and war. Is that right? Yeah. All's fair in love and war. That means that... sometimes there's different acharyas and different groups have some, but ultimately they're looking to please Krishna and on that platform. So, but we ourselves in this Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we are learning about this Maha Mantra as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because I was saying earlier how different words can change meanings according to knowledge. A particular word that I might say might mean a lot more to me than what it does to you. And a particular word that you might say means it. So similarly, when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, it means different to all of us. Because the knowledge we have of the mantra is one thing. How committed we are to Krishna, how progressive our love towards Krishna is. And also how much mercy we might have received from various acharyas. And also, even in the higher realms of Krishna consciousness, what particular tastes we have. Because we were saying how everyone is an individual. They're all free willers. Therefore, when they go to the spiritual realm, they're going to have a different flavor and a different taste when they are serving Krishna. They'll see different things. They'll work things out slightly differently. And sometimes there may be disagreement. So, but all discord is said by some of our acharyas. All discord is harmonized in the absolute. So, because, for instance, when Mother Yashoda at night she wants Krishna in bed, nice and safe, and the gopis have a different idea of what Krishna should be doing at night. So, in that sense, there is not harmony there between Mother Yashoda and the gopis. At the same time, it's all harmonized in pleasing Krishna. So there's also Lord Balaram. Sometimes he's fighting when Krishna and Balaram together with the cowherd boys. Balaram is has his team. Krishna has his team. They're fighting together, and sometimes one becomes victorious. Sometimes Balaram loses, but when Balaram loses, he refuses to accept his loss. He becomes very angry and refuses. So that's his nature. And generally, Balaram has the idea that if there's any problems in the world, he will deal with it with his club. But Krishna, he does things slightly differently. Like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, for instance, before that war, he did try to negotiate, did he not, with all the parties involved and try to seek a peaceful arrangement. This is actually a divine. Nobody wants war. Even Muhammad, his village, he lived in a village, and some marauders came and some other country came and took it. He lived there all his life with his family, and someone took over his country. He was banished. And therefore, he wanted to go back to his country. He thought this was unjust. Because one who does wrong or suffers wrong is wrong. Do you get that? One who does wrong or suffers wrong is wrong. Prabhupada says that many times. A very important point. No point in us saying it's all karma, Prabhu. Well, is it? What harm did Jesus Christ do when he came to this planet? When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took his devotees on a parikrama and people threw stones on him, what harm did he do? So therefore, in this world, it's very unjust. Therefore, Prabhupada says in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, when Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows and Yudhisthira came to him and said, this whole war has taken place on just to put me on the throne. He felt very bad because he's a Vaishnava. He didn't like the idea that, can you imagine all the women and the children and their husbands have been killed, the children were without their fathers, and there was lots of them. So Yudhisthira, as a Vaishnava king, he felt very bad about this, and he went to Bhishma Dev, who was lying on his bed, and he tried to understand, why has all this happened? And I feel that I'm responsible for this. So Bhishma Dev was advising him on these matters, and he said that it's the inevitable time. Inevitable time. Time moves on in various ways. No one knows the outcomes and the workings of the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, Vishnu or Krishna, like Dharma is a living thing. Dharma is the breathing of Vishnu, and he set forth all these particular restrictions on mankind and directives for mankind. So if we live by them directions and live by Dharma, then that is okay. And if anything happens to us, if we're living by Dharma, we can take that as an arrangement of karma, that must be my karma, I must have suffered this way. But if someone is acting against Dharma, against the principles of religion, they come to harm you, then that's another matter. Then you must protect yourself. Therefore, when Kali, wasn't it, when Prakshit saw that Kali killing the cow, he immediately arrested him and was going to kill him because he was acting against Dharma. So this is an important point for the for the modern world, and our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, they want to bring the Vedic principles to this modern world. The Vedic, ancient Vedic scriptures meet modernity. How is it we're going to be able to bring forth these principles of religion, which Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, particularly, that was their mission to do. Not only did they want to spread Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because we were saying how we were covered and thrown, if there must be an uncovering process. The uncovering process is a matter of chanting Hare Krishna, but also following Dharma. Therefore, you want to join the Hare Krishna movement, you have to, if you want to become a serious student, you have to give up sin. Because if you are sinful, you cannot understand divinity. Divinity does not lie in sin. This is the darkness. That's the... So you have to give up the sinful activities, and you have to abide by the principles of Dharma. Of course, the principles of Dharma are very, 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 very widespread. You've got 18 Puranas in the mode of goodness, you've got 6 in the mode of goodness, 6 passion. So there is a direct way, and there is many indirect ways to connect with Dharma. And you see that in the life of Maharaj Parikshit, because when Kali wanted to, when he was going to be killed, he said, "You must give me some position because I can't help myself." So, isn't it? He could not help himself. He had greed, he had lust. So what to do? So yes, you can live. So there we are. This is an example. Then there must be some restrictions on people, but some allowance. So the direct process which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is very good, but you also require to be qualified to some extent. Therefore, Prabhupada in his Hare Krishna movement, when he came to the West, at first he didn't mention that part. He said, just chant Hare Krishna. And everyone, all the guys were chanting Hare Krishna. And then one day he pinned up the restrictions. See, Prabhupada was very clever. He was in like a needle, out like a plow. Well, actually, in your own lives, you should understand these things, that in our own lives we cannot immediately come. And there's different degrees. So the direct process or the indirect process, it's all a process of linking with Krishna. So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has that potency to give you the direct process of coming to top level of Krishna consciousness. What social mobility and spiritual mobility. Remember that that chap who wanted to... He became the deputy prime minister of England, because he was desperate for power. He sold his party out just to get a position. His name was... I won't mention his name. But he used to give this expression of social mobility. And I thought, yeah, very good, I like that. Social mobility. So we have social mobility. We are not... And this is totally against the perverted Varnashram, where there was no social mobility. That is so pathetic. And that is actually, in one sense, you could say the Brits did a good job in coming to India, because they pointed out the hypocrisy. Of course, they were hypocrites themselves, but sometimes hypocrites point out other hypocrites. So... Because the British, while they were pointing out the hypocrisy of the Indian culture, at the same time they were forbidding them to even sew their own cloth. They had to buy cloth from the Brits, right? And that cotton was given to them by America, the triangular trade. So the Brits would go to Africa, they would take some African residents, enslave them in America to make cotton, bring that cotton back over to the mills in England, and then tell the Indians, you cannot buy cloth, you have to buy from us. That's the law. And if they found anyone weaving cloth, they would chop their thumbs off. So just see how the demoniac British were. Incredible, actually. And you see all these stately homes all over England, very wealthy stately homes. They're very nice to look at, but we should understand how that money came about. Anyway, it's another matter. So, Dharma has to be practiced properly, and social mobility is a very important principle in the Krishna consciousness movement. And actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, and all our acharyas teach that line. And actually, our modern acharyas present that in such a wonderful way that some of the traditionalists, even today in India, even though they're good sadhus, some of them may come from the Advaita Parivag, they're into Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Bhajan. That's okay. That's very nice, because that is the combination of perfection of life, to do Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Bhajan. But those that just absorb themselves in that, for various reasons, there's no harm, but they do not understand the Nityananda Parivag and Bhaktivinoda Thakur Parivag, how they meet modernity and how they introduce Vedic culture in modern ways to attract the Western world. When these other Bhajanandis, they cannot understand. You cannot expect them to understand, actually, but we should give them respect because they do very serious bhajan. And actually, they follow Raghunath Das quite strictly, some of them. They're not all bogus. Some of them are. Some of them are Sahajas. But some are very strictly following. And they're experiencing deep aspects of Krishna consciousness. But some of them devotees do not understand the efficacy of chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna and how to bring that chanting to this Western world and how to change Western society to follow some of the Vedic principles. This is the goal of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And I always think that in time, maybe next generation, the generation after, so on and so forth, that we will study very deeply all the scriptures to understand how Vedic economics works, how social systems work, and so on and so forth. And slowly we will infiltrate, if you like, and bring about a revolution in the way the world works. And it'll be centered much more on cultivation of consciousness. So all these things are destined to take place. How they take place, I was listening to one tape, and Prabhupada said, you think you can change the world by just Hari Bol, Hari Krishna? No, he said. He said like that, because if you look at the way Prabhupada preached, he set up the Bhaktivedanta Institute right now in Gainesville in America. His Holiness Vidyananda Maharaj has set up a house there, and he's once again revamping the Bhaktivedanta Institute, making it as to what Prabhupada wanted it. So important that work. But like any work is important, that's not the only important work. There's many, many types of important works. But if we want to influence the world, that's one way of doing it. So there's many, many different ways. So this Hare Krishna mantra that we have gotten, it's a very ancient mantra which Mahaprabhu has instilled with this pure rasa. He's instilled it with pure rasa. And how do we know that? We understand that by the translation of the Maha Mantra by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami Associated with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who were direct associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. So, what did he not know about the rasa of Radha Krishna? He knew everything. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he wanted to find out what Radharani's mood was. So, if he wanted to have gurus, which gurus would he choose to understand that point? How is Mahaprabhu to understand the love of Radharani? Therefore, we can see he took gurus. He took three gurus, Mahaprabhu. Shiksha, Diksha, no difference, isn't it? Shiksha, Diksha. Sometimes people think Diksha is everything. No, that's not our line. Diksha and Shiksha. Prabhupada says sometimes the Diksha guru is the predominant Shiksha guru, and sometimes he may not be. And he also says that we can have unlimited Shiksha gurus. So to understand Krishna consciousness, we need many gurus in one sense. And we have. We have so many different gurus that can teach us. So Mahaprabhu came, he had Ishvara Puri was his Diksha guru, because he gave him the mantra first and then he gave it back to him, but he set the example. And also Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar, they were, because Sarup Damodar is Lalita Devi, and Ramananda Roy is Vishakha Devi. So from these two, Mahaprabhu could understand further the mood of their queen, Srimati Radharani, who is said to be the guru of Krishna ultimately in Ras. So Mahaprabhu came to learn from these about what is Radharani's mood, how is she feeling, what is the pleasure she's feeling, what is the happiness she feels when she sees me, what is the glory of her love. These things Mahaprabhu wanted to know. And therefore he came to explore all these matters through his these devotees. They taught him these things. And then what he was taught, he spoke to the Goswamis, and they further elaborated on this topic. And that's what we get today from our scriptures. And we should, regarding Shiksha Diksha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary on Shikshamrita by Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, and we should take this seriously, take it seriously because he's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, we should regard these Goswamis as our own personal Shiksha gurus. That's a very important point. Now the question is, how are we going to be able to fully understand their association? That is understood, that we have to take association and initiation ourselves. If we take association and initiation and training by local Vaishnavas or people that we connect with, and we serve very nicely and we learn the proper etiquettes and the behavior, then the whole of the parampara becomes opened up for us. Not that we become impertinent, we think we can jump over one and go straight. Not that. That's not what I mean. I mean that we get thoroughly trained. Because Krishna consciousness is an uncovering process. That's a very important point, which one of our acharyas made recently. It's an uncovering process. Because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Subjikavanoya Shravanada Shurati Tukaranodoya. Nitya Siddha Krishna, we have Krishna Prema, but Shravanada through chanting, it will be brought out. So that is the real process of Krishna consciousness. If you fix your mind on Krishna Leela and associate with devotees, you will automatically give up the lower taste. Vishaya Vinivatane Nirasa Dehinam Rasa Rajan Rasa Piyaja Padam Drishtvadan Rasa Rajan, you give up that lower rasa of material. I mean, look at the material life. I mean, with all due respect to material life, yes, it looks very nice, but it's just temporary, as we know. But it's okay for us to say that. But it's such a strong allurement. But at the same time, we must know, and we can keep convincing ourselves that this is a temporary illusion. But there is a reality where this beauty lies. The beauty of all these rasas that we find in the spiritual world, even this world we'll find in the spiritual world. So we should have faith, because faith carries us a long way. So we need to uncover ourselves. And what is it we're uncovering? Now, if you look at life itself, you will find people in different coverings, isn't it? You can go to, perhaps if we take a highly cultured man, I'm talking about a really cultured man, or woman, for that matter, who has got such nice consciousness, such nice appreciation for things, because she's in a higher mode. She appreciates the art, she appreciates beauty, she appreciates people around her. So we can see in this life there is differences in consciousness and the way people are and how they interact. For instance, someone who's playing, if you're a musician, for instance, someone who's playing some music that's connected to divinity, because a lot of classical music is connected to divinity. You see these guys are really playing their piano and they're really trying to feel for some emotions, a much higher level of emotions and experience. So even in this life, we can see there's differences. So we take that to another level, and there is the demigods, and above the demigods, there's other demigods and so on and so forth. And we go right the way up to the Vaikuntha planets, where different beings reside in wonderful consciousness. Like, for instance, when Krishna gets up in the morning in Dwarka, he is, you know, I mean, what's going on? Huh? What's going on in Dwarka in the morning? We hear all about the Radha Krishna Leela. What's going on in Dwarka? Well, the Brahmins are there. They come and chant mantras. Probably the cows are going on nicely, and Krishna goes and meets all there. It's a wonderful, and the queens are all serving nicely. It's a wonderful ras. But there's tinged with Aishwarya, with a great respect for the Lord and his wonderful qualities. So Krishna's enjoying that. Same time, he's on that roof in Mathura sometimes, and tears flow from his eyes. You know that verse? Is there? Tears to flow. One time, devotee in America, he said, Krishna never cries. I saw a picture once of Krishna that the BBT artist had done, and Krishna was crying. He said he took that painting and he took the tears off, because he said, God never cries. I said, Baba, you don't know no rush. So I said to him, actually, in Dwarka, Krishna's there on the rooftops and tears are coming from his eyes. Why? Because he's remembering the residence and love of the residence of Vrindavan. And when someone loves you so much and so deeply, if you're a highly cultured man, will you not want to reciprocate with that love? You must do. If you don't reciprocate with someone's love, then what kind of man or woman are you? So, but these things... But Nitya Siddha Krishna famous subject of annoy, the soul is full of these qualities, and when we are uncovered, these things naturally come out. And for Shaivanivatane, we must experience a higher taste. So this mantra brings us that higher taste and enables us to see the lower taste in a proper perspective, put it in its place, and keep our minds fixed. Yoginam apashavasham makkatina atmana swaravan bhajato yamam. That verse. the highest yogi, Krishna says, my bhaktas, and particularly the higher yogis of Vrindavan, those that Mahaprabhu has come to teach us what is the highest platform of yoga. So if we keep our mind fixed in that activity, and Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Kushmanjali, that Kushmanjali is nothing other than the tears of Raghunath Das, actually, that whole book. And he is crying. Why is he, what does he want? Who knows what Raghunath Das wants in his Kushmanjali? What does he really want? Huh? Yes, there's a man who understands. Yes, he's crying for the service of Radharani, because how can we please Krishna? Krishna's so powerful. Prabhupada said, you go before Krishna as a little soul, you'll burn up. You have to go through, you go through Mother Yashoda or through Sridham and Madhumangala, these guys, or through some of Krishna's great servants, all through Lalita, Vishakha, and so on and so forth. You go through them because they are, these devotees are, well, we cannot comprehend their greatness. One of our acharyas, he said, even the even one speck of dirt, or so-called dirt, Chintamani, actually, the Chintamani stone that makes up Vrindavan, even one little speck should be taken way above our heads and worshipped. What to speak of the residents who are acting in that land? So we should have full faith that we can attain such a platform by regularly hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, aspiring as much as Radharani herself, she always is in feeling separation from Krishna, and she always wants to be with Krishna. Even when she's with Krishna, she's fearing separation. So in the morning, early in the morning, she is with Krishna. No one else, the mothers and all the residents of Vrindavan think that she's at home, but she's not, she's with Krishna. So she's at one with Krishna, pranaya. So here we have sneha. Sneha means illuminated heart. So the beginning of Krishna consciousness, sneha, illuminate the heart. Then mana. Mana means your emotions are rising. Therefore, you'll feel a little duplicity, in one sense, in the relationship. Some disappointment, some complaint. And then pranaya, you will advance further in your devotional life. You'll feel the oneness of your relationship in love with Krishna and his devotees. And then raga means even further emotions are developing, and very intense devotions. And then anurag means that ever new blissful pastimes are taking place. So this is the process by which the devotees are rising, their hearts become illuminated, and they become further and further and further and further illuminated in their spiritual emotions as they advance in their Krishna consciousness. And they, so Raghunath Das, as much as Radharani wants to be with Krishna, Raghunath Das has that same feeling for Srimati Radharani. He cannot bear to be without her. He wants her to take him along, or her along, as in his form as Tosi Manjari. He wants her to make sure that she can join him, that she can join her in these lila pastimes, as do all Radharani's associates. So these leelas and these pastimes are all written by our acharyas, and they're commentaries on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So as we advance in our devotional life, we must try to hear these leelas. And because if we chant Hare Krishna nicely in the association of devotees properly, these leelas will very much attract us, and we will try to, and in that way, experiencing a higher taste, we will not be affected by the modes of nature, because there's no way to escape this modes of nature without getting a higher taste. If you do not have a higher taste, you'll stay within this taste. So it's very important that we take our bhajan and very seriously, and we take up the path seriously. Now, Raghunath Das, he is telling us what this meaning of this Hare Krishna mantra is. Rupa Goswami. No, this is Jiva Goswami's translation. I'll read it to you. I know the time. What time did we finish this class today? Yeah. So we'll finish off with this. Hari, in Jiva Goswami's translation, Krishna steals the minds of everyone. Yet Radha steals even his mind by her divine expertise. She is known as Hara, Krishna. He forcibly attracts Sri Radha with the sweet sound of his flute. Therefore, that Lord of all enchanting qualities is known as Krishna. So although we see here that Radharani is stealing Krishna's mind, similarly, Krishna is stealing Radharani's mind. Hari, the next Hari, it has been heard that during the Rasa Leela, doe-eyed Radha was stolen away by Krishna to be alone with him in a secret forest bower. She is therefore known as Hara, Krishna. When Krishna sports with Radha, her golden hue takes on the dark complexion of Krishna's skin. He is thus known as Krishna. In order to please Sri Radha, Krishna manifested the most wonderful lake, Shamkund, in Vrindavan. He then collected all the holy rivers to fill it. He is thus known as Krishna. By her unsurpassed love, Radha charms he who performs wonderful leelas on the banks of the Jamuna. Therefore, those who are sober know him as Krishna. Hari. While in Gokul, Sri Hari Krishna killed the demon known as Aristasura. During that time, Radha cried out to him with great feelings, and by doing so, she stole his mind. He is thus known as Hara, the last Hari. Filled with ecstatic love, Radha sometimes sings the glories of Hari's exploits quietly, and sometimes she sings them aloud. Those who are expert in the secrets of divine sentiments call her Hara. So this is the, and then this is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Jiva Goswami also gives translation to that. So you can see how Mahaprabhu, as, where did Jiva Goswami get this from? He's getting this from Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. He's getting it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is discussing these things with Lalita and Vishakha, and it's being revealed. So this revelation is taking place because it is Mahaprabhu's glory, because he, napayam, 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 that verse is there, that Mahaprabhu, or Krishna, wanted to pay back the gopis. So he came here. And to pay, because you have to pay back love. I was saying earlier, when you love someone, you've got to pay them back. If someone does something for you, you must pay them back. Otherwise, what kind of person are you? That you just take and not pay back? So Krishna, or God, is like that. He's such a wonderful personality with the best of characteristics that he has to pay back. And the most difficult person, he could pay back anyone in their love, but he could not pay back Radharani because it was a mystery to him. Therefore, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to understand this glory of Srimati Radharani's love and to pay her back. And he pays her back by glorifying her love. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than revealing the glory of Radharani's love. And while he's doing that, he's paying her back because he's glorifying. Because if you glorify someone for their activities, you're kind of paying them back, aren't you? If someone does something nice for you, and you tell other, oh, that person's so nice, he did this, this, then you'll be satisfied. So he's trying to satisfy Radharani in that way. So he's understanding her love. And in the Panchatattva, Gadadhar is Radharani without her bliss, if you know it. He's Gadadhar is Radharani, but Mahaprabhu has stolen all her bliss and all that. So she just sits. But actually, some of our acharyas say, yeah, she's giving that, but she's also watching over because she knows her bliss is so exalted that it can be sometimes perhaps dangerous because you don't know what you're going to do with yourself. Like Mahaprabhu in the Gambira, he was scratching his head on the wall and then he ended up in the river, didn't he? He used to disappear and be anywhere. So Radharani used to have to keep an eye. So as Gadadhar, Mother Sachi understood this and she said to Gadadhar, you should stay with Mahaprabhu. So Gadadhar and they're always together and she is watching over, making sure that he... These are the tapas. Eventually, Mahaprabhu, they say he entered into the Tota Gopanath in Pura. Have you been to the Gambira, anyone? Gambira? Yeah. So nice there, right? This is where Mahaprabhu was standing. Who else has been to the Gambira? So nice. At Gambira, so that place is there. And the whole of Jagannath Puri, it's a wonderful place. One time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was giving a lecture, and he said that the highest place to be is Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra, he said, is the highest place. And one of his disciples couldn't understand why he said that, because he thought, well, I thought Vrindavan was the highest place. Why are you saying Kurukshetra? Because in Kurukshetra is revealed that when Krishna came to Kurukshetra after... Because some of the acharyas take Krishna out of Vrindavan, but actually Krishna always stays in Vrindavan, but in his form as Vasudeva and other forms, he leaves. So anyway, the Leela is he returns to Kurukshetra and he meets the gopis again. At that time, Srimati Radharani is almost approaching Krishna again. They're so close, but so far away. So when someone's at their most desperate, if you serve them when they're at their most desperate, they very much appreciate your service. So so therefore we have the devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he worshipped Gaur Gadadhar. Because Gadadhar was Radharani without her inner self, if you like. So if you serve someone in that capacity when they're missing something, they very much appreciate your service, as much as if you serve Radharani in Kurukshetra when she is almost has reached her goal, but Krishna is dressed as a... he's dressed in a different way. She wants to bring him back to Vrindavan, But he is dressed with these great royal paraphernalia. And therefore, right away, he can't quite get, she's almost over the line, but she can't quite. And therefore, if you serve her in that capacity right there, when she's at her most desperate, you will, great service will be rendered. These are some of our chalice there. So you see how Jiva Goswami. You want to make an announcement? Okay, I'll be finishing now. Thank you. Is it a very important announcement? Okay, I'll finish off now. So, in finishing off today's class, we will see how Jiva Goswami, he has understood from Mahaprabhu the real purpose of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this mantra, Prabhupada said, it is spoken by Mahaprabhu and passed through generation, generation, generation to siblic succession. And the very mantra that we hear today has its origins in Mahaprabhu and through the siblic succession. One time Prabhupada was speaking to one of his disciples. He said, yes, yes, you go and chant the Hare Krishna mantra because you've heard it from me. And you're a sincere boy, therefore whoever hears it from you, the disciplic succession will work in that way. So this divine sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is descending through disciplic succession, and it's the same potency as Mahaprabhu if you have the, if you can tune in properly. Sorry, I went a little over the time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.